punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Woo, what a crazy weekend. Talk about wind. Man, it was cold yesterday, but anyway, what do we got going on here? All right, let's go back to this one. Currently, maybe, I had it ready once. I'm going to do it again. 57 degrees. The wind is out of the north at 15 miles an hour, and humidity's 33, and it's a little chilly out there with the wind going, but I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you here in just a little bit. But I got to tell you, before we get to the markets, I got to tell you a little bit about some of my Jimmy Clark adventures this weekend. As you know, we have a gentleman over at Sayre that we named the golf tournament the Bob after. He's in the agriculture field. He has cattle and a few pivots of water over there with some rye and some other stuff running on it. But anyway, it was a great turnout for the Bob tournament. And we got, my team was Craig Puckett, Gabe, my boss here, and Jeff Rule. We had a great time. We got to play with some really good friends of mine, James Atkinson, Randy Morse, Terry Morse, and Bobby Birdwell. And I'm sure everybody knows all those guys pretty much. We had a great time. And the other team learned what it was like to play golf in the slot. Gabe, he was in the slot all weekend playing. We did pretty good. We almost won some money, just almost, but we didn't. But we had a good time. And there was a goose out there, not a Canadian, but just your regular old farmyard goose out there. And I thought, man, I'm just going to do some interviewing a farmyard animal. I'm going to interview him. My boss is riding in the cart with me, so I thought maybe he'd be impressed that I did some work while I was out golfing. And so I went up to Mr. Goose, and he'd been around watching James play. So the first thing I asked him was, I said, "Hey, Mr. Goose, did you see James's tee shot off number 6? And this is his response. And that was pretty legit and manager. He said it was okay. And then and I said, "Well, what'd you think?" And he just, "Not bad, not bad." And then the goose laughed at me. But come find out, after talking to him more, he was talking about, he was laughing at James's tee shot because he topped it. And so anyway, I told him it wasn't very nice to laugh at James. He didn't take that very good. And then the goose did a little bit more talking to me. And I asked him what he really meant. And he told me, he said, I said, "Man, I never heard of a goose hitting a 4-iron better than James Atkinson." I mean, the goose was a golfer. I mean, he's been out there ever since I've been playing there. But anyway, he's a golfer, and he knows a good one from a bad one. But he did say that he could hit his 4-iron better than James. So other than that, that was the end of that conversation with Mr. Goose, because he started talking crap to me, you know, about being a better golfer than most of the people he sees out there. But anyway, James, Randy, Terry, and Bobby, it was great to see you guys out there. And the ag field was represented out there. Farmers and ranchers and people that own ag business, the bankers. We had a good time. guys won some really good money out there, and we had a great meal from Poppy's. If you guys have never tried Poppy's cream corn down there south of Elk City at 152 and 6 Highway intersection, you need to go, because that's some of the best cream corn I've ever ate in my entire life. It's great. They served pork loin, chicken. We had baked beans and apple, our choice of apple or peach cobbler for dessert. It was a great time. I made some new friends. There was people from all over Western Oklahoma and Texas come play at the Sarah Golf Course. That was the first time they've ever held a two-day tournament there. And for the better part of it, it went really well. Everybody had fun, and I can't wait till next year. Well, let's go on with the markets. That's enough making fun of James. So anyway, James listens to the show also. He might not be a farmer, but he's a wannabe farmer. Anyway, let's go with the live. Everything's in the red today. Everything except for corn and wheat's in the red from what I studied before the show come on. Live cattle, April, 139.75, down 2.7. June's 135.45, down almost 3. August live cattle, 137.12, down 3.25. October is 143.80, down 2.35. Feeder cattle are down also. April, 156.62, down 1.3. May is 160.80, down almost 3, and a little over 3, actually. Looks like the lean hogs are taking a big hit, too. May, 107.60. June, 114.02. Lean hogs are 116.05. They're down almost 4 itself. Good thing about it, oil's down. Maybe it'll keep going, dropping some. I don't want it to drop a whole lot, but we need it to drop it so we can get our fuel back down to where it's where we can afford it. So anyway, let's check out the Oklahoma cash grain prices. If I can get it to come up. Oops, went the wrong way. Hang with me. You guys know me by now. I'm on top of the game for a little bit. We got hard red winter wheat, $10.80. Corn is $8.16. Milo's at $7.84 a bushel, and soybeans at $16.03 a bushel. That's cash grain prices in Oklahoma right now. Cotton is at $1.35 a pound. It's just hanging up there. It's not coming down. I mean, it fluctuates a little bit, but anyway, it's coming up. All right. Soybean futures were lower in overnight trading, as some investors who were long on the market are bet on higher prices as we know it, booked profits and headed to the sideline for recent run-ups. Investors are started to focus more on growing weather in the United States as planting begins in earnest. A week ago, 1% of the United States soybean crop was planted, missing the prior five-year average of 2%. According to the data from the United States Department of Agriculture, about 4% of the corn was sown as of April 17th. That's behind an average of 6% for the same time last year. Wheat and corn futures, meanwhile, were higher in overnight amidst the ongoing Russian attacks in Ukraine. Railroad stations and industrial plants have been targeted by the Russians in the latest attacks on Ukraine. According to the media, U.S. diplomats reportedly promised another $322 million in aid to Ukraine. Traders also are watching the weather in the United States Southern Plains, where hard red winter wheat is growing. Little to no rain has fallen in parts of the regions that including Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle, and a lot of Kansas in the past 30 days. Soybean futures for May delivery fell 18 and a quarter cents to $16.69 and three quarter cents a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal lost $5.10 to $447 a short ton, while soybean oil futures declined 1.3 cents to 79.21 cents a pound. Wheat for May delivery jumped 10 and a quarter to $10.85 a bushel, while Kansas City futures added 12 and three quarter cents to $11.62 a bushel. Corn futures rose 1 cent to $7.90 a bushel. Speculators, that might be the new Jim Bonnick's word of the day. Speculators raised their net long positions or bets on higher prices in corn and soybeans in the 7 days that ended on April 19th, according to the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Investors bumped their bullish position in corn to net 362,901 future contracts last week. That's up from 356,877 the previous week, and the largest such position since the week ended on March 22nd. Money managers raised their net long in soybeans to 171,000 contracts, and that's up from 164,000 contracts the previous week, and the largest bullish position since March 22nd also. In wheat, investors raised their bullish bet on hard red winter wheat futures to 49,965,000 futures contract, and that's up about 500 contracts from the previous week. Investors reduced their bullish bets on soft red winter wheat to a net 14,724 contracts. That's down from 17,000 the week earlier. Freeze warnings. It's April. There's a chance tonight if you're in a low-lying spot, if the wind dies down, of a freeze out here. 39 for a low is what I seen earlier. I don't know if that's changed, but don't think if you live along creeks and rivers, you might be getting a little frost anyway. Freeze warnings have been issued for Iowa, Northern Illinois, according to the National Weather Service. In central Iowa, sub-freezing temperatures are expected overnight and Tuesday. The warning in that area will take effect from 1 a.m. through 8 a.m. and again tonight. Temperatures will fall as low as 26 degrees that did last night, and it will again tonight. Well, we missed the rains again. Man, it's not too far southeast of here where there's just a line from, I don't even know where to start, down there around Wichita Falls, and just cut off the big old chunk of Oklahoma that got some 2 and 3 inch rains, and we got some drops, and that was about it. And hopefully things will change. They didn't want to get the hopes up too high, but they said coming here in about a week from tomorrow, there's it seemed like the pattern's changing a little bit. So hopefully that dry line develops out west instead of out east, and we get some rain, because the wheat, I'm pretty sure the water's too late for the wheat and the rye, because everybody's cutting it down what's worth cutting down. And we really, 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 really need some good rains around here. And all we got to do is pray that we get some good rains. That's what we need. Well, I'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says. He says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage, you don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way, because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively in Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County.
Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes. Good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Oh, it's working. Come up. The Mezzanette was having some technical difficulties here a while ago. Anyway, 61 degrees, humidity is 27, northeast winds 17 miles an hour, and wind gusts up to 40 right now. Let's check out, see who's got the big wind gust going on. Looks like it's Elk City. 25 to 30 all the way around Elk City, but the western part of the Ouachita County and eastern part of Beckham County, something's right over us because it's in the red, so it's 40 miles an hour, and we got it going on here. So anyway, let's check out some temperatures in our listening area. Looks like Wheeler, Texas, and Shamrock, you're both tied at 60 degrees, 58 here at Elk City, 58 at Shattuck, or Arnett, sorry. We got 57 at Visalie, 61 at Hobart. Warm spot is Altus at 63, along with Mangum. And Hollis, y'all guys tied at 63. So anyway, we got Medicine Park, 58, 59. I don't know if you guys have seen this deal on social media where they put a map up of the drought in the western half of Oklahoma, and then they put out a map of where all the wind farms are. And with the exception of the one down, the ones down around Apache, down by Lawton, the drought is in the same area as all the wind farms. I don't know, you know, not trying to be a conspiracy theorist there, but, you know, something to think about. And there's people always say there is, but there's no proven theory that the wind towers are causing it. But they are doing a study, and they started it within the last year, so we should know, and hopefully it's a truthful study and not backed by money from the wind tower advocates. And I'm not against wind towers. They just ain't going to be on my property. How's that? So anyway, I need some favors from people. The text line is open at 580-225-9697. We are streaming live on Facebook, and you can comment on Facebook if you want to. And I don't look at Facebook till the show's over on the show. Sorry, I've had some people comment on there, and I don't do it. Text line's the best way to get me why I'm doing the show. And we are streaming live on KECOFM.com. I got a couple of gentlemen that are needing some hay. And I know hay's hard to come by, but hopefully somebody knows where there's some hay at. Got one gentleman. He's needing anywhere from 16 to 24 bales of wheat hay. And Hoyt's his name. And his number is 580-515-4017. Another gentleman, he needs wheat, rye, or alfalfa. He'll take any of the above, and he didn't give me a quantity, but I'm sure he needs enough because I know how many heifers he was calving earlier in the year, or maybe still calving. Jimmy's number is 580-515-3884, and that's not me. But if you can text in that you got some, or call these gentlemen if you want their number, just text it in here. they need some hay and really like to help these gentlemen out. So text me at the KCO Ag text line at 580-225-9697 and we'll try to help them guys out. Anything to help them out. They're just trying to hold on to the cattle, and hopefully we get a rain in the near future, and I'm the same way. I got enough hay to hang on to what cattle my son and I have till at least end of May. And if it ain't rained by then, I'm liquidating, getting rid of them. Numbers to it, input costs, fuel, feed. I mean, unless the cows are in your backyard and you're not out a lot of road expense or anything, tires, the whole nine yards, I can't put it together where it doesn't cost you if you don't just dig your hole longer. I mean, if it rains and everything's good, great. These cattle need some green grass to grow on. It's got some stuff. We need some help. We need some help. We need some rain. And then I got, anyway, there's yes, that's what are my thoughts on, I had a text come in, is what are my thoughts on that post that we seen that I was just telling you about where the part of the Oklahoma that's in the most severe part of the drought and then all the wind tower farms on it. I think wind towers have to change something around here. The turbulence in the air, I really think they do something, because it's already proven that they change the flight paths of birds, if not kill them. Colorado or New Mexico, one of those two states, I was reading an article here last month where the eagles were migrating, and they migrated right through the wind tower farm, and it killed at least 150 of them. It's got to do something. And had a gentleman that physically seen the wind towers out here north of Sayre, the ones out by between Sayre and Cheyenne, out by Four Corners, one foggy morning when there's a lot of moisture in the air. And you've seen a picture similar to what he's seen on Facebook, where the clouds or the moisture is just strolling up, and you know, it's cooling the ground, heating the ground, whatever it's doing it. It's got to do something. But the overall weather pattern, I'm not sure. I mean, it just seems funny that the drought is going on where all the wind tower farms are, and these wind tower farms are getting bigger. But we got to have some green energy out there for electricity to go along with our natural gas, coal, and hydroplant power station. So it is what it is. And hopefully these studies will prove something, and maybe they change it or figure something out. I don't know. Anyway, I got a deal on milkweed. Most of you guys realize that milkweed is a very important plant that we need especially for the monarch butterflies, because the insects are very important to our nature. And everything feeds everything. And, of course, everybody loves to watch the monarch butterflies migrate one way or the other. But they got some stuff going on down in Texas. It says a native plant species in Texas, the milkweed, received a proposal by the United States Fish and Wildlife Service to be designated as an endangered species. This would designate 691 acres in two counties along the Texas border as a critical habitat, according to the Fish and Wildlife Service press release. But the Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, sent a comment letter to the FWS under the Biden administration regarding this proposed rule. Texas values the protection of native plant and animal species, but the determination will further destabilize the Texas border, hindering the construction of the border wall. So I'm going to say this milkweed deal is right somewhere where they're building this wall. His letter explains to the federal government, through environmental impact analysts have already determined the species not to be at risk should the border enforcement activities continue. Yet, these environmental studies are seemingly being ignored by the Fish and Wildlife Service, and now without clear reasoning or supportive data, the impact of the border enforcement activities or a border wall are to be are said to be potential threats of high magnitude to the milkweed. Meanwhile, in the press release from the Fish and Wildlife Service, this listing and critical habitat proposal is based on the best available science. We all know about science. We've been going through it for the last 3 years, including a species status assessment that included input and review from academic and state agencies. The FWS assessment reports these species have never been abundant in available survey data. Of the 24 populations of milkweed that remain in Texas and Mexico, 79% are estimated to be in low current conditions. In addition, the report explains the species stressors to include non-native grasses such as buffel grass, right-of-way maintenance, and mowing and land conversion. Paxton's letter also considers the impact of local ranchers, the economy cost to ranchers due to illegal alien traffic through their properties have also been substantial. Ranch owners in the nearby area cities cost in tens of thousands, site cost in tens of thousands of dollars to repair cut fences, gates destroyed by human smugglers transporting undocumented persons through their ranches. The milkweed is very, very important to all of us. We have milkweed in here in Oklahoma, and I'm saying this because it affects farmers, ranchers, wildlife, it's everything. Quail, a lot of bugs around milkweeds. My understanding, I'm not a monarch butterfly expert by no means, but my understanding is that the monarch butterfly and the milkweed are very important to each other, because the monarch butterfly, supposedly, if I read that article right when I was looking at this a couple weeks ago, only lays its eggs on the milkweed, because then when the larva turns into the worm, whatever it does, and then it turns into the beautiful monarch butterfly, it's right there on the milkweed where it can feed. And I might be wrong on that, and you can correct me if I'm right or wrong on that. I don't like putting out fake news unless I'm trying to have fun with it, but we take the milkweed deal very serious. As a matter of fact, we got some, if it had rained, we had a really important pollinator, which included milkweed projects to do over south of Sayre on some of the city of Elk City's property over there with the 4-H and some grade school kids from surrounding schools, but it hasn't rained. And that project, we were running out of time for pollinators to get planted. So anyway, well, when I come back, I'll give you an update on the weather. And we're going to talk the U.S. drought and the Texas-Oklahoma cattle report. Clinton, the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction is happening at Clinton right now. When it gets done today, Brandon will send me Elk City and Clinton, or weather from Western. I keep saying Clinton because they're at Clinton, sorry. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Reports, and I'll have them out for you early in the morning on the Ag Update. And tomorrow at lunch, we'll talk about it. So anyway, be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is your Elk City Livestock Auction Report for Friday, April the 15th. 1,239 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 132 brought 385. 8 at 444 brought 205. 5 at 572 brought 148. 8 at 616 brought 168. 8 at 791 brought 153.50. 16 head of heifers at 287 brought 196. 4 at 403 brought 196. 5 at 486 brought 160. 3 at 547 brought 149. 6 at 793 brought 136. Butcher cows were 10 to 105. Butcher bulls brought 40 to 126. Bred cows were 725 to 1400. Pairs brought 685 to 1800. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, let's check out the weather update here. Let me check it out real quick. Here we go. There it is. 60 degrees. Winds are out of the northeast, gusting up to 25 miles an hour. 18 mile an hour out of the north, northeast, 25 mile an hour gust. Anyway, I'll have the Long Ranger up Hobart Farm and Garden coming up, provided to you by them. Hey, I want to throw this out here. Matter of fact, they called me yesterday. I gave them some new more numbers on some of the fire departments trying to raise money around here. I see you. It's a matter of life or death. And the Western Plains Downed Bikers Association are putting on a deal this Saturday, April the 30th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Elk City Convention Center. This is a free event, family-friendly. It's their second one. They had one last year. They got food trucks, a coloring contest, mock crash put on by Haynes Record Service, Elk City Fire Department, and EMS, along with the Air Vac, will be there. Lots of vendors, Oklahoma Highway Patrol Motorcycle Unit, face painting, Western Oklahoma Alzheimer's Group selling goodies. We will be in the North Building, and the Aerial Bound Tumbling Group will be having an event that day in the South Building. So it sounds like a great day. It's all to raise money. Come out there. They called me about a couple other fire departments that were needing money to see if they want to come out and do something to get donations for their fire departments. And I'm sure the fire departments, if nothing's already scheduled, they'll be out there. Anyway, it's be a great time out there. This Saturday, April 30th, 10 a.m., the Western Plains Down Bikers Association will be putting on an event out there. Their one they had there, I think it was last year, remember right? I didn't go into it, drove by it. Looks like they had a good crowd. Those guys, those bikers, do a great job to help people in our communities around Western Oklahoma. Right, I've been getting a couple of texts in on some hay. Let's see here what I got here. Oh, okay, cool. I got some information on hay. Great. Very good. Thank you very much. I'm going to pass this information on to these two gentlemen that was looking for hay. They will really appreciate it. Anyway, so Hoyt and Jimmy, if you guys are listening, I got a couple numbers for you so far, but we'll keep taking numbers because hay is hard to come by. All right, let's go with the weekly livestock auction summaries from Texas and Oklahoma last week. Let's start out with Texas. Compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers sold steady to instances of $3 higher. Trade activity was moderate to good demand. Supply included 77% feeder cattle, 47% steers, 52% heifers and 1% bulls of that 77%. 16% slaughter cattle, 95% of them were cows, and 5% was bulls. 7% replacement cattle, 56% stock cows, 18% bred cows, 0% bred heifers, and 26% cow-calf pairs. Feeder cattle supply over 600 pounds was at 71%. All right, they sold 6,216 head of the reported sell from the report and sale barns last week, and that was up, looks like, about 1,300-1,400 head more than they had the week before at 49.69. But this time last year, they sold 7,000 head. Let's pick out some numbers here and see what we got here. We had some sold at 324 average weight. They brought up to 217. Some 416-pounders brought up to 205. Here's a good, here's somebody did good. They sold a bunch that weighed 475, brought up to 207. Big load here, 530-pounders, brought up to $1.97. Big load here, 581s, brought up to $1.79. 613s, brought up to $1.79. 677s, $1.69. And some 730s, brought a $1.57. 800 weights here. Here we go. 805 brought $1.55, and some 900s brought up to $1.38. Well, in Oklahoma, compared to last week, feeder steers were steady to $3 higher, feeder heifers $1 to $4 higher, stocker steers and steer calves steady to $3 higher, stocker heifers and heifer calves sold $2 to $4 higher, demand moderate for feeder cattle. Demand continues good for stockers and calves. Slaughter cows and bulls sold unevenly steady. Demand moderate for cows and bulls. Rain expected later in the week to the weekend. Supply included 89% feeder cattle. 51% of them were steers, and it was 1% dairy steers. 46% heifers and 2% bulls and 0% dairy heifers. 8% slaughter cows. Slaughter cattle, let me rephrase that, 86% cows, 14% bulls, 3% replacement cattle, 45% of them, that 3% was bred cows, 2% bred heifers, 52% was cow-calf pairs, 0% was bulls. Feeder cattle supply over 600 pounds was at 66%. Well, let's check out some of the prices from sale barns all over Oklahoma. 323 weights up to 230. 378 weights up to 235. They must have been good. 433s up to 227. 467 up to 216. 520 weights up to 211.50. Looks like the market in Oklahoma is a little better than Texas. And I say that with very diplomatic, you know, I'm not meaning nothing bad about Texas, but anyway, 568s up to $2, 624s up to $189 per hundred weight, and we got some 721s was at 167. So the market still looks good up there. It's holding strong. I honestly don't know what's going to happen to the cow and bull market, because I know people are going to start unloading, start calling anyway. Buddy of mine from went up to the Cheyenne to the Pioneer Days this weekend, talked to some guys, and he said, you know, if they don't get a rain by May 1st, they're going to sell half the herd. And I'm thinking it. I don't know why anybody else won't be thinking it. I've got grass, but it ain't green. And just throw in the cost of hay, feed, minerals, the whole nine yards, at today's prices, be your own judge, but you ought to sit down and put a number to it. I mean, if you're lucky enough to have some irrigation and stuff like that, the water tables are already dropping. So anyway, be not interested to see, but it's coming. So anyway, good luck with everything you're thinking about, what you got going on your farm. Well, and I'll be back. I'm going to be back with the Hobart Farming Garden Long Ranger Forecast. Be right back.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, April the 19th, we sold 696 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, April the 21st, we sold 2,729 calves and feeders for a total of 3,425 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 82 to 9250. Thin cows bring 65 to 9050. Bulls bring 95 to 117 with their 2 to 8 year old bred cows, 850 to 1300. And our 5 to 9 year old pairs, 1000 to 1400. We have a very competitive killing cow and bull market. Buyers don't get along. That helps make it very competitive. On our steer cattle, 4 to 450 steers, 197 to 21050. 5 to 550, 180 to 195. 6 to 650, 165 to 175. 7 to 750, 160 up to 167, 8 to 850, 146 and a half to 152, 9 to 950, 138 up to 148, with 12 steers weighing 1102, bring 131. On our heifers, 3 to 350 heifers, 175 to 190, 4 to 450, 169 to 179 and a half, 5 to 550, 155 to 170, 50, 6 to 650, 150 up to 164, 7 to 750 heifers, 140 to 153, 8 to 850 heifers, 136 to 143 and a half, 9 to 950, 124 to 136 and a quarter, and 16 heifers weighing 983, bring 128 and a half. Very good market, sending lots of our calves and feeders to the north. For this sale this Tuesday, April the 26th, we will have 40 bred cows and pairs. Got another 25 bred cows running age. More by sell time. Remember, we work 100% for the seller. Never lying to the buyer. I stay in the ring start to finish to get the most we can for everything. Thanks again, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
All right. Check it out. 61 degrees. Humidity is dropping 25%. And the winds are out of the north at 17 miles an hour. Wind gusts 26 miles an hour. It's going to be partly sunny today. 68 for high with north winds 13 to 16 miles an hour. Tonight, 38 degrees, northeast, 6 to 10 miles an hour winds. Tomorrow, sunny. Tomorrow looks great. Just no wind, 73 degrees. So get some work done. I'm going to work in the big garden tomorrow, it looks like. Weld some gates on. I got a wind. I got a fire watch guy coming. I don't know why. It's nothing but sand around it, but I will take the precaution, have somebody there with me because I need to get these gates up. We're going to be working cattle this coming Friday. Tomorrow night, 45. Wednesday, here we go again. Breezy, 80 degrees. Wednesday night, 20% chance of thunderstorms, 58 degrees for a low. Thursday, breezy again, warming up, 89. Thursday night, 61 degrees. Friday, breezy, 93. Man, it's just April. It's already feeling like summer out here. Anyway, I didn't get a chance to. I had Mr. Frank Lucas, U.S. Representative for Oklahoma for District 3. from Cheyenne, Oklahoma, out of Roger Mills County. He was on here Friday, so I didn't have a chance to talk about the drought monitor. We all know it's dry, but I was just going to do an overview on it. Looks like, if it come up, there it comes. Oklahoma, most of the southwestern Oklahoma, and right there where the southwest corner of Oklahoma, there's a big strip that goes, looks like, all the way down towards El Paso that's in the D4 exceptional drought category. Oklahoma, the northern part of the Texas panhandle, all of Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma panhandle, and parts of New Mexico is in a D4. The rest of us, anything east of I-35, west of I-35, I get my directions down here pretty quick. West of I-35 is in a D3, which is extreme drought. And you guys listening, you know it's dry out here, but it looks like basically everything, take I-35 and head west towards the west coast in some sort of drought. There's no area in the white except a little bit part of eastern Kansas that's in the white because I-35 runs right up through there. So anyway, pretty sad what's going on, and there's no relief in sight, major change in sight anyway. Hopefully we get a rain just develop out west and move across the Texas-Oklahoma state line and we get some rain. So anyway, there's your drought report. I'm sure everybody is going. But what do you guys think is driving cattle prices? Well, this week seems to fly by. I know I'm not the only one that feels this way, but last week I mentioned the price gouging taking place with distiller grains. A local feed yard manager sat beside me at an auction this week and told me the ethanol plant near him begged him last fall to contract some distillers, so they knew they had a place to get rid of it. He agreed to and has taken a little over half of what he contracted so far. This week, the plant pulled the plug on their contract. They can sell it to someone else for a lot more money. This is the third time in recent memory ethanol plants have refused to honor their contracts. When we talk to local farmers, they are not hauling in corn. They are selling for almost $8. They are hauling in corn that they contracted back when it was $5 to $6. So this week I'm offering grain marketing advice. Do not honor your contracts because today you can sell it to ethanol plants for a lot more money. What is good for the goose is good for the gander. Talked about the goose earlier in the show with about him bad-mouthing James, but anyway, nothing to do with this one. Well, the power of small beef producers. For most of my lifetime, the smart people have said you have to get big or get out. Some think the days of the small family farm are limited and going to run out soon. I do not understand why these industry experts hate small so much. Most of the calves produced in this country come from small producers. If these experts are going to hate on small producers, they are pretty much hating on the bulk of cow-calf segment. That makes no sense to me since they are the source of cattle. I've brought up the topic of how our operations benefit other before. I'm going to illustrate that point today, specifically how small operations benefit others. I was at a female sale. Some of the cattle there came from the biggest local reputable herds, and some come from very small herds. The size of consignments range from 4 to 50 head. The auction had a difficult time trying to sell groups that were bigger than 5 head. When they offered to gate cut the bidding process because became much more active. The prices paid for some of these pairs and bred stock amaze me. I guess these small guys have feed and are not concerned about the increasing drought conditions here. The point is, there was many of these small volume buyers and they made the market. The auctioneer offered gate cut on the bigger consigners' cattle too. There was one problem. He floored the cattle too high. If he had been willing to sell them at $150 less, I bet he would have sold all of them. Instead, he got to pay the freight bills to get them to the auction and take them back home. Those cattle weren't worth that much to anyone but him. Given the distance he lives from the auction barn, he would have been better off to sell them for a little less. In this case, the bigger operation helped no one but the truck stop he bought the fuel from. I saw the same thing at a feeder auction. Some people showed up and were in a hurry to get back home so they could continue farming. They only needed 2 to 3 dozen head of turnout ready stockers. They bought what they needed right away at the beginning of the sale and paid what they needed to pay to get the deal done. After these guys left, the market dropped $12 to $20. There's another perfect example how the small guys make the market, if only for a short while. It's also a good example of mismanaging the inventory triangle. They were more concerned about how long it was going to be to take before they could get back to the field. Their willingness to overpay for cattle for the sake of time cost them $3,000 more than it should have. If they were really concerned with money and time, they should have just used an order buyer. The small operations helped the market by selling their small packages of cattle this week. The small operations helped the market by buying the cattle this week. When we look at it this way, small is pretty awesome things. I like the market reports because they give us all an idea of what's possible. Some folks think that reports give them a feel for the market. Nothing could be further from the truth. I looked at the market reports from the sales I attended, and it doesn't tell the story at all. The only way you're going to get a feel for the market and really understand what is going on out there, the entire blog would not exist today the way it's written if it had not been for the auctions this week. I would not have a clue about the small operations, how they make the market, or that it will be based on small groupings of cattle. The information on the market reports is somewhat misleading. I'm not telling you I mislead it when I read the reports. I'm doing my job. Anyway, farming rules everything around me. The overvaluation for pairs that fit cabin window for corn planting was huge. $600 over late calvers is huge to me. The people selling the late calvers were wearing seed corn swag and seemed willing to take the discount because you have to be done calving before planting begins. That's also the ones buying the overvalued pairs. The corn planting date determines if a female is over to undervalue. A view from the market. Here's what I noticed in the female markets. All the females were selling above their value, except the late spring calving mature cows and broken mouth pairs. The younger the female, the more she brought overvalued. First and second calvers were greatly overvalued at the auctions that I attended. I mentioned the trend of fitting the corn planting window. Females that fit the window saw a depreciation of $160 per year of age. The late calvers were half that. The feeder markets were much the same again this week. The value of gain was positive on cattle weighing up to 600 pounds. At that point, there is an obvious cliff. The big news is the big price bump in the fats this week. The change, the relationship between fats and feeders in a big way, making much more of the feeder spectrum undervalued to fats. And there is your Jimmy's thought of the week. So anyway, well, we're about done here. Appreciate everybody listening today. Good job out there this weekend. All you farmers and ranchers that had time to go golfing, you did a great job. Raised some money. Everybody got to win a lot of money, too. A lot of money was won this weekend. Currently, it is 61 degrees. Humidity's already dropped another couple of percent. It's 25%. And the wind's out of the north at 17 miles an hour with gusts up to 24 miles an hour. So, anyway, it looks like we're going to hit that 68-degree spot this morning. Anyway, you guys have a great day. Glad you joined me today. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark, and God bless.